Shall we pray? Father, we bless you and thank you, Lord, that you have called us to be a people of prayer, Father. Because when we pray, Father, we can touch your heart and we can draw from you all that we need. We can draw all that you want to give us, Father, and manifest it into our situations and our circumstances. Manifest it, O God, into the nations that we live in, Father. So we ask you, Lord, to teach us how to pray. To understand, O God, why it is so important for us to cultivate, O God, the habit of prayer. To cultivate, O God, the desire to pray, Father. We know, Lord, that this desire to pray is a work of the Holy Spirit, Father. It is a work within us, O Lord. It's a work that builds the altars of our heart. So we pray, Father, that you will move in each one of us, manifesting in us, O God, the spirit of prayer. Manifesting in us the desire to pray. Stirring our hearts by your Holy Spirit, unveiling in us, O God, the witness of blood, water, and spirit. So we pray, Lord, that you bless us today, Father, with your word. Give it to us with understanding. Give it to us, O God, with conviction, Father. Let everything that is within us, O God, be opened to the receiving and the realization of your word, so that the reality of prayer will be established within us, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we are talking about praying by the witness. All right? We have talked about the witness. Today we want to look at it in terms of prayer. What does the witness bring inside of us? The witness brings inside of us the cross of Jesus Christ. Most of us here know how to pray by the Spirit. Almost all of us are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Praying in tongues is a tool. But what we must understand is that God has given us the witness of his cross. And that witness of his cross is what we must unveil in prayer. And today we want to talk about what that witness really means, right? So that you understand that when you pray, you're not just simply speaking words. That when you pray, you're bringing forth a witness. And that must be very clear in your heart. You're not just simply talking about what you feel about or something like that. You're bringing forth a witness. That is the key. And how well you bring forth that witness is the skill of prayer. How well you manifest that witness is the skill of prayer. Prayer rises from your belly, right? Just like Jesus said, right? That out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. The ability to pray rises from your belly. The ability to pray rises from your belly, and the ability to pray is expressed in a witness. And that witness is defined at the cross so that you understand how powerful it is for the Christian church to pray. That if we can pray in that witness, we can do anything in the name of Jesus Christ. So that witness of the cross we have learned from 1 John chapter 5 verse 10 is alive in all of us who believe in Jesus Christ. So the day you were born again, this witness was made alive in you. Right? 1 John chapter 5 verse 10. 1 John chapter 5 verse 10 reads, "The one who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself." So you have a witness. And that witness didn't come to you because of something you have done. That witness is alive to you because Jesus Christ was a sacrifice for you. So that witness is defined in verse 8 as this: "For there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And the three are in agreement." And the three are in agreement. So blood, water, and Spirit is the witness of the cross. In John 19 verse 30, we know that Jesus, on his death, surrendered his spirit to God. In John 19 verse 34, we know that when the Roman soldier pierced him, out came blood and water. So blood and water is the witness of the cross. And isn't it amazing that the witness of the cross is inside each and every one of us? And that true prayer is a manifestation of the witness of the cross. Can you catch that? The true prayer unveils all that God ordained through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. That when we pray, we must give expression to the word that unveils Jesus' sacrifice. If we can do that, if we can do that, we are praying in a realm of God's perfect will. So this witness is meant to carry, right? Is meant to communicate and carry the testimony of Jesus. This witness that God has given us, we have to learn to bring it out in the name of Jesus. And everything we ask, it will be given to us if it is manifested in this witness. Because we pray in this witness in the merits of the Lamb. And all of us have this capacity to pray. And there will come a time on planet Earth when there will be a need for people who can pray. Boy, will we need it. Maybe we will need it just to feed ourselves. Right? Whatever that may be. Right? We need to understand that a person who prays in the cross of Jesus Christ is a person who can manifest everything that is in God's will. Alright? So verse 6, this is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not with water only, but with water and with the blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is the truth. Now this tells us that through this witness alive in us, Jesus comes alive in us. Now isn't that amazing? That Jesus can come alive in each and every one of us by the Spirit. So if we pray that which is of him, we can actually manifest as a functioning member of the body of Christ. He can be manifested through our witness. Isn't that amazing? And that is what it means to pray in the name of Jesus. Alright? So you and I have the capacity to pray. We have the capacity to pray from our inward parts. We have the capacity to manifest the victory of the cross. We have the capacity to unveil the power of the cross. Alright? Let me just put some verses together. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the word of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So the power of God is manifested in the word of the cross. And the word of the cross is the word that describes the witness inside of us. All right? So one of the things that we want to learn in prayer is how to pray the word of God. Not just simply pray in tongues, but to pray with the perception of the word of God, with the framework of the word of God manifesting our prayer in tongues. So that we are praying always in the framework of the word. Because Jesus Christ is the word. And the word of the cross is the power of God. Right? The word of the cross is the power of God. Let's look at verse 22 and verse 23. For indeed Jews ask for signs and Greeks seek for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to Jews a stumbling block and to Gentiles foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. All right? So God has given us the capacity to pray. God has given us the capacity to unveil a witness through which Jesus will manifest himself. God has given us the ability to pray in the cross of Jesus Christ. All of us are equipped with this, and all of us are called to be able to manifest this witness in our prayer. And to do that is a skill. And to do that is a skill. It is a skill in God. It's a skill by which we can move things in heaven and on earth. It's a skill by which we can release angels to the tasks that God has given them. We can ask the Father, right? And He will give us that which is right. Because God can only do what is right. He cannot do what is wrong. So the skill in prayer is to pray what is right. When we hear the word of God, it is to understand what is right. Right? It is to understand what is it that God wants to do. And if we pray what is right, God will answer that prayer. So it is very important that when we pray for nations and when we pray for individuals, that we do not pray our will, but we pray what God has written in His word. Because what God has written in His word is His will. He will perform His word. We know from Jeremiah chapter 1 verses 11 and 12 that Jeremiah saw a vision. And in that vision, the Lord asks him, "What do you see, Jeremiah?" And he says, "I see the rod of an almond tree." And then the Lord tells him, "You have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it." And all prayer must recognize this, that God is watching over His word to perform it. We should stop praying in emotion, and we should stop praying in the flesh, and we should stop spiritualizing our fleshly desires, our fleshly carnal desires. And we should learn how to pray God's word. Even when you pray for yourself, you must learn how to pray God's word. You must learn how to pray God's word, because God is watching over His word to perform it. You must know His word, you must come to understand His word, and you must be willing to pray that word, because that word will be done. That word will be performed, right? In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus told us, right, to hallow the Father's name, right? Hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, right? Thy kingdom come. Where is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is within us. The kingdom of God is amongst us. And when the church prays, it is seeking to establish the kingdom of God. That is what hallows the Father. We are seeking that God's will be done. And this is something we must understand. We cannot pray our will, because God is not going to establish your will or my will. He is going to establish His will. It is our duty to understand God's will. It is our duty to pray God's will. Right? And when we pray as a church, it is very, very powerful. Right? Just now we read we sang a song earlier on in this morning that said that one of us can chase 1,000, and two of us can chase principalities and powers, right? All right. So we need to understand that there is a multiplication, right, in us coming together in prayer, right? So we are called to pray in the witness. And that witness is defined in blood, water, and spirit. Blood is covenant. Blood is intimacy. Blood is the reality of the faith and love of Jesus Christ inside of you. All right? So you need to understand this. When it says here that in that witness of blood, water, and spirit, Jesus comes alive in you, it is telling you that something of Jesus Christ comes inside of you. Through blood, you have access to His faith and His love. So if you pray consistent with the witness of the blood, if you pray the love of Jesus, if you pray the salvation of Jesus, if you pray the power of the cross, if you pray the power of His faith, that prayer can be answered. Right? And you need to know and cultivate this understanding that within you there is a witness of blood. Within you there is a witness of water. What does water represent? The Rhema word. What's the purpose of the witness of water? To cleanse, to clean, to renew, to regenerate. To bring forth a newness of life. So when you pray, there must always be this reality of speaking forth a newness of life. Speaking forth a creative work. Speaking forth a work of renewal and regeneration. Speaking forth a new creation. Speaking forth the river of life. So when you pray, it is very important that you know this and you understand this. That inside of you, there is a witness of water. And that water is the water of the word. The third aspect of the witness that you carry is spirit, the right spirit. The right spirit that can touch and change the attitudes, the thinking, and the actions of the human race. And that right spirit is within you. It is the spirit to do everything in the name of Jesus. It is the spirit that can touch the conscience of man. And we need to be able to bring forth this spirit from the witness within us. And it's very, very powerful if we can understand that within us there are three flows of the spirit. One is in blood, one is in the water of the word, and one is in the spirit of Christ. And we are called to manifest this witness, because this witness, right, is a witness of salvation. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He didn't give the church, He gave His only begotten Son. And when we understand that if we can give Jesus in prayer, if we can speak the wonder of Jesus Christ into the atmosphere over our families, over our nation, over the world, over the races of the different people, right? We are manifesting something that is of awesome power. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. How often do you pray with the understanding that you can give expression to the fullness of Christ Jesus? And we must understand that. We can give expression to the fullness of Christ Jesus. And we must have that intention in our heart. Right? Are you with me? You must have that intention in your heart. You must have that conviction in your heart that you have the witness of Jesus Christ inbuilt inside of you. That what the Holy Spirit is doing inside of you is building that witness. It's like He is building an altar inside of you. And through that altar, you can manifest the fullness of Jesus Christ. Anything you manifest in the name of Jesus, the Father will answer. Anything you manifest in the name of Jesus will send forth angels on assignment. Because Jesus Christ is the King of Angels. Hello? Jesus Christ is the King of Angels. You find that in the book of Revelation. I think you find that in Revelation. Let me see, which chapter is that? Revelation chapter 10. Revelation chapter 10 from verse 1. And I saw another strong angel coming down out of heaven, clothed with a cloud, and the rainbow was upon his head, and his face was like the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book which was open, and he placed his right foot on the sea, and his left on the land, and he cried out with a loud voice as when a lion roars. Now Jesus Christ is called the Lion of Judah. Right? In Revelation 1, you will find that when Jesus spoke to John, his face was shining as the sun. So you find that this angel manifests and his face is like the sun. And his feet are like pillars of fire. In Revelation chapter 1, the feet of Jesus Christ are called burnished bronze. Right? All right. And so in verse 2 it says, and in verse 3 it says, and he cried out with a loud voice as when a lion roars. And when he had cried out, the seven peals of thunder uttered their voices. And when the seven peals of thunder had spoken, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, seal up the things which the seven peals of thunder have spoken, and do not write them. And the angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land lifted up his right hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever. Hello. That means he must have sworn an oath in the perfection of God's will. And that is Jesus Christ. Here he is being described as an angel. Here he is being described as the King of Angels. And you need to understand that. Right? So when we pray in the witness and we ask the Father to fulfill what His Son has established by sacrifice, we can ask for angels to be released. We can pray for angels to be released. And God will answer that. So last Friday, the word that the Lord gave was that there were angels released, that God was pleased with our prayer. That's good stuff. We may not understand where God released the angels or for what purpose He released the angels. What is important is that the angels were released. What is important is that God was pleased. And there was a tremendous peace in this place. Right? We may not understand what God is doing. We may not understand what He is trying to achieve. But when God manifests His peace, He is declaring that He is pleased. He is declaring that it is there. Because peace represents a manifestation of the covenant of God. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 54. Right? Peace is the sensory part of our being. Right? Because the things of God are so far beyond our understanding, sometimes God, very often, God can only tell us through our spiritual senses. So, Isaiah 54, verse 10 says, "For the mountains may be removed and the hills may shake, but my loving kindness will not be removed from you, and my covenant of peace will not be shaken, says the Lord who has compassion on you." So, through peace, God assures us that He has done something. God assures us that He is in charge. God assures us that He has heard us and He has answered us. And He tells us, gives us the assurance by manifesting peace inside of us. All right? You and I are built to have inward spiritual senses. Right? Inward spiritual senses. Let me turn to Hebrews chapter 5. Right? You and I have inward spiritual senses. Very often, we must understand prayer through these inward spiritual senses. Right? Because we are praying for things that are far beyond our intellectual understanding. We are praying for things that our mind cannot comprehend. We are praying for things, right, to be done that our spiritual abilities will not be able to understand. So look at chapter 5, Hebrews. "For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." Understand that it is all built in the word of righteousness. Verse 14 says, "But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil." Now those senses are built inside of you. And only through your senses can you discern good and evil. Right? Only through your senses can you understand that when you're praying for something, there is opposition. And you can also, through your senses, understand that as you sustain your prayer by the Spirit, there is then a breakthrough, and then that opposition disappears, and there appears peace, or there appears joy in your insides. And then you realize that a breakthrough has been made. Does it mean that you know what the breakthrough is? No, you don't. You may sometimes understand vaguely what that breakthrough is. But that breakthrough has been manifested. So when we pray, we are praying together as a church, and we are praying for things that are very, very vast. Right? We are praying for things that are very, very vast. So God uses each one of us as a vessel to achieve one milestone. Right? So when we pray, we are praying for fortresses of darkness to be torn down. Right? But whenever there is a breakthrough, God will show that in our insides. So when we pray, we are always praying for those breakthroughs to come in. Right? Are you with me? And the breakthrough will come in as long as you are focused on praying through your witness. Right? Praying through your witness. All right? So you should learn how to pray through your witness, because through your witness, God has the desire to manifest that power. Hello? There is a power that is working within you. And that power that is working within you has to come out in prayer. Now all this begins like by step by step in your life. Right? You must take the word of God and understand that the word of God is saying that the cross of Jesus Christ, the witness of that cross, is alive inside of you. The witness of that cross can be brought forth from within you. that through prayer we are developing that manifestation of the witness of that cross through our person. And that is an awesome reality. That is an awesome potential. All right? So what is this witness that we carry inside of us? What is it called? Revelation 3:14. Revelation chapter 3 verse 14. Here the Lord Jesus says that He is the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. This verse tells us all the things necessary for prayer. It tells us first that there is something called the true and faithful witness. Truth sets people free. Hello? Truth sets people free. Prayer must be manifested in truth. Because truth is the only thing that can set people free. So it is your duty to understand and know the Word of God so that you can pray the Word of God, because it is the truth that will set people free. The next aspect of that witness is that if there is truth, then the witness that you carry is faithful. That means, what does that mean, faithful? That means God will fulfill it. God will accomplish it. So if you pray truth, the truth will be fulfilled in the faithfulness of God. So you and I carry a witness that is designed to manifest truth in faithfulness. It is designed to manifest the Amen of God. It is designed to unveil the beginning of the creation of God. Now, what does that tell us? That means God is telling us not to pray for status quo. God is telling us to pray for what is God's will. God is doing a work in His creation. God is bringing forth a new creation. And that new creation is going to be manifested in the fullness of Christ Jesus. We have done the verses last week. Colossians 1:19. That it is God's will that the fullness be of the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Christ Jesus, all the fullness dwells. That what God is doing in our midst is to unveil a new creation. What God is doing inside of you is to unveil a new creation. Do you know that? That God is in the process of creating within you a clean heart. That God is in the process of creating within you the mind of Christ. That God is in the process of anointing you with the Spirit of Christ. He is in the process of anointing you with the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of knowledge, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of strength, the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. He is in the process of anointing you with the Spirit of faith. He is in the process of enabling you to function in the Spirit of grace. He is in the process of enabling you to live in the Spirit of life. He is equipping you, clothing you with the Spirit of contriteness and humility. And all that is a creative work in Christ Jesus. And the church must understand we have to pray this. Right? When we pray for Israel, when we pray for the sons of Ishmael, God has said that they will come to know Him. We have to pray that they will come to know Him. The Bible says that in the process of coming to know Him, all of those nations will be rebuked. Let me show you. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 19. Isaiah chapter 19, right? Verse 23 to 25 we have talked about, right? It says, in that day there will be a highway from Egypt to Assyria, and the Assyrians will come into Egypt, and the Egyptians into Assyria, and the Egyptians will worship with the Assyrians. In that day, Israel will be the third party with Egypt and Assyria, a blessing in the midst of the earth, whom the Lord of hosts has blessed, saying, blessed is Egypt, my people, and Assyria the work of my hands, and Israel my inheritance. And all that sounds wonderful, right? But look at verse 17. And it says, and the land of Judah will become a terror to Egypt. What does that mean? Now God is talking about what He will unfold, how He will bring this process about, and how He will bring this process about will be through a shaking, right? It will be a shaking, right? And it says here, verse 22, and the Lord will strike Egypt, striking but healing. Striking but healing, so they will return to the Lord, and He will respond to them and will heal them. Are you with me? So there is a time of healing, right? But that healing is going to come with the Lord striking. Right? Now these things we don't like to hear. Why? Because we live in lands that where the sons of Ishmael live. Hello? But there is correction coming. Right? People who stand up and say that God is telling them to fight a holy war and go out and kill and murder in that are going to get correction. It's going to come with a mighty walloping. Right? It is going to come because God is not going to allow anyone to use His name in vain. Right? It will come. In the same way, Israel too will be corrected because they are blatantly breaking God's law too. Right? Because God's law are built on justice. Right? So when God gave the Jews their law, He told them to treat the stranger in their midst as if he was a part of them. Let's turn to Leviticus 19. Verse 33, when a stranger resides with you in your land, you shall not do him wrong. Hello? Under no circumstances are you to do him wrong. The stranger who resides with you shall be to you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself. That is the law of God. You have no choice in the matter. For you were aliens in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. You were aliens in the land of Egypt and they persecuted you. But you cannot do the same thing back to them because you are my people, because I am your Lord. You cannot do the same things, right? So today as we stand as in prayer, we must understand that God will fulfill His righteousness. We must pray the righteousness of God. There are two parts to righteousness. Righteousness exists as doing right things, and righteousness also exists as correction. All right? So God's righteousness has two faces to it. One is doing the right thing and blessing and correcting. The other is to manifest judgment and to correct with pain. And that too is part of God's righteousness. If you look at the cross, there are two parts to the cross. One side is salvation, the other side is judgment. Reject the cross and you will be judged by it. Right? Many Christians think that they can just go about day to day in their Christian lives treating the cross of Jesus Christ as something of convenience. Hello, the church will be judged by what has been manifested on the cross. And all those people who pray lip service to the cross of Jesus Christ, who have denied the cross in the Christian church, will be judged. And they will be judged very strongly. Hello. Why do I say that? Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 26. For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much severer punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God? And that is a reality that only applies to the Christian church. And has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified, and has insulted the Spirit of grace. Hello? That's the word of God. For we know him who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." And again, "The Lord will judge his people." The Lord will judge his people. It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Right. So when we pray judgment, we pray righteousness, we pray love, we pray mercy, and we must be able to sense by the Spirit what we are praying for. We must be led by the Spirit and never by our carnal thoughts. So there will be phases in our prayer when you will realize the witness of the cross is not only a witness of forgiveness and grace and mercy, but it can also manifest as judgment. All right? There are different phases of judgment and there are different levels of judgment. What we just read in Hebrews is the area that is called blasphemy. All right? Right? And that is terrifying. But there are other areas of correction where God corrects with a rod with the intent of healing. We just read that in Isaiah, right? Where he said, "I will strike Egypt and I will heal." Are you with me? I will strike and I will heal. The purpose of the strike is not to destroy, it is to heal. It is to convict, right? It is to convict. So we need to understand that when we pray, we are praying in the fact that God is sovereign. Hello? Let me show you a passage in Revelation that brings out something very powerfully, right? It's found in Revelation. Revelation chapter 10, Revelation chapter 9. I want you to see this. It is mentioned under the title, "The Fifth Trumpet." Now what I'm going to do is to just read through this fifth trumpet so that you understand who is sovereign. Right? "And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star from heaven which had fallen to the earth, and the key of the bottomless pit was given to him." Some commentaries say that this star of heaven that fell is Satan. All right? I believe it is one of his angels, right? It is one of his big angels, all right? "The star from heaven is one of the fallen angels, all right? And the fallen angel fell to earth, and the key to the bottomless pit was given to him." Given to him by whom? Given to him by God. "And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke went up out of the pit, like the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by the smoke of the pit. And out of the smoke came forth locusts upon the earth. And power was given them as the scorpions of the earth have power. And they were told that they should not hurt the grass of the earth." Now these things that come out of that bottomless pit are demons, right? And it tells them, and here when you read the word, it is said that they are given only a very specific ambit of influence. All right, so it said here, "And they were told," verse 4, "that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, nor any green thing, nor any tree, but only the men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads." Isn't it amazing? That these are people who can only touch people who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. The seal of God. On the other side, the Antichrist is trying to put the seal, the 666 mark, on the foreheads of people. Right? And these are demons released. And these demons are ordered to hurt people who do not have the mark of God. That means they are to hurt only those who have the mark of the beast. Are you with me? What does this tell you? That although demons are being used here, the person in authority is God. Are you listening? The person in authority is God. He is deciding on what is to be done. Do you understand that the devil functions in a subordinate realm of power? He cannot move beyond that. Are you with me? Because he is under judgment. Okay? All right. Very important for you to understand that. All right? Verse 5, and they were not permitted to kill anyone. Okay? So they could not kill anyone either. But only to torment for 5 months. Only for a stipulated time frame. Right? So we need to understand what the power of God is. Right? We need to understand what the power of God is. All right. When we pray in the name of Jesus, we have access to an authority that is very, very high. Let's just turn and look at the Bible. Who is Jesus Christ? Remember, Jesus Christ comes alive in your witness. Now, who is this person called Jesus Christ? What position does he occupy? Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. All right. Verse 18. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. Paul is writing, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Right? Part of our calling is to pray. All right? And what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? Right? I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe. 1 John 5:10 said, he who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. Here it is saying, I pray that you will come to know what is the surpassing greatness. It is not just greatness, it is surpassing greatness. That means it is a reality above greatness. It is the surpassing greatness of his power, the power of Jesus Christ towards us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, the Father's might. Right? Which he brought about in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. So where is Jesus Christ? At the right hand of the majesty on high, at the right hand of the power on high, at the right hand of the Father. Right? Verse 21. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. And every name that is named. Every name that is named. Not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And we need to understand that one of the things we are cultivating as we pray is the understanding in our spirit of what is the position and authority of Jesus Christ. And that is not going to come if you don't pray. It is only as you pray and you function in that authority, starting from small and growing through that process, only then will you understand that power. Because it is spiritually appraised, it is not intellectually appraised. Because the reality in the scripture, God has to manifest it inside of you through revelation knowledge. That's why earlier on in the passage it says that the eyes of your heart will be enlightened. That you will put on the light of God so as to see and understand this authority. Now if we don't pray, all of us are saying, I'm not interested in all that. Right? And if you're not interested in all that, that power and that reality of the authority of Jesus Christ is not going to come by alagaza alagazum. Right? It has to be cultivated line upon line, precept upon precept. Are you listening? It has to be cultivated step by step. Understand that the power of Jesus Christ is above all rule, all authority, all dominion, all principalities. All might, power, dominion, and authority. Right? There are so many different ways, different versions of the Bible describe it differently. And when we pray in the witness, who comes alive in us? Christ Jesus comes alive in us by the Spirit. He comes alive in us in His faith. He comes alive in us in His life. He comes alive in us in His Spirit. He comes alive in us in His power. He comes alive in us in His authority. He comes alive in us in His love. Are we listening? Right? But so you have to discover this intimacy of with Jesus Christ. It has to be developed inside of you. If you don't pray, all that will happen in your life is as the situations and circumstances in the world change, you will just be caught with whatever drift that happens. If there is a wave of anger, you will just be sitting there helplessly just swept by that anger. Right? If there is a wave of hatred and killing, then we will be swept in that wave of hatred and killing, because you will not be able to raise a standard because you never bothered to pray when you had the time. So learning how to pray is not a joke. It is for your own good. Hello? And there are going to be fellow Christians who are going to need us to be able to pray. Because when we pray, we raise a standard. And the standard that we raise is the standard of the blood. All right? Do you understand that? All right? And you and I have to learn how to do that. So praying is not something you feel like doing. Hello? Praying is an obligation. Praying is a necessity. Praying is part and parcel of Christian maturity, because you're going to need to pray. Because you've got children, you've got family, and you have to be able to stand and say, I stand in the name of Jesus and this will not touch me. Right? Are you with me? Hello? We just did the 91st Psalm, that He will give His angels charge over me. If you read Revelation, some of these angels were very, very impressive. Right? They stood up and one angel threw a bowl and 2/3 of the earth was affected by it, or 1/3 of the earth was affected by it. Right? We must understand there is awesome power. Right? And in the 91st Psalm, God is telling us in a very simple and direct manner that there are angels who are able to watch over us. But in order to do that, you must know who you are in God. So the 91st Psalm, it says, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It says what? That you are dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God. How are you going to find that out except through prayer? He that is under the shadow of the Almighty, He is the one who will have an angel who will take care of him. For He will give His angels charge over you to keep you in all of your ways. Not some of your ways, in all of your ways. Are you with me? Right, let's turn to that. Right, Psalm 91. I personalize Psalm 91 and I pray it every day. As often as I remember, because it is a very important prayer. Right? He says here, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Hello, all these things have to be developed in your witness. All right? Verse 4, he will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, or of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. Are you listening? It shall not approach you. You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. You will see judgment come on the wicked. The wicked do not have free access on planet Earth. If we have seen those kind of excesses, it is because so often there was no one else to raise a standard. Because the church was playing churchianity. Because in the Christian church, unfortunately, there are very few people who really know how to pray. Hello, God told Egypt, God told Israel before they were going to be wiped out by the Assyrians, you run to Egypt for your protection. You refuse to come to me. What happened? When the Assyrians came, they just wiped them out. Right? Go back and read the book of Jeremiah, the book of Isaiah. God told them, you run to Egypt, you think that the power of Egypt will save you. Because Egypt was also a world power at that time. And he said, it will not save you. Even they will be defeated in battle. So he says, turn to me, but you refuse to turn to me. Right? And that's what we are doing in the church. We think our contacts with politicians can help us. Politicians are liars. Only a fool will put his trust in a politician. Hello, haven't you read the history of the world? When have you seen an honest politician? Up to a point, they can be honest. And here we have the rock himself. Our fortress, our strong tower, our defense. He does not change. He doesn't waver with the wind. He doesn't care what the blooming political climate is. And we have direct access to him in the name of Jesus, and we can't be bothered. You listening? Hello. Verse 7, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Verse 8. Verse 9, for you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. For he will give his angels charge concerning you, to guard you in all your ways. Don't you need that? But you must understand, all your ways must be the ways of righteousness. Because angels can't protect you when you choose to do evil. Now that you must understand. When you start living by God, you have to understand. Right? He will forgive you your sins. But if you deliberately make covenants with darkness, then he will not protect you in those areas. Hello? These are troublous times that we are living in. Hello? Right? Everything in the book of Revelation will be foreshadowed before the Lord comes for the church. All right? So there will be shakings, and there will be great shakings upon the earth. Right? We have seen the frequency of earthquakes, for instance, increase. In the 19th century, there were probably about 3 major earthquakes. Now they come every now and then. Right? In the 20th century, there were hundreds of major earthquakes. Hundreds. You need to understand the sign of the times. If you go through the book of Revelation, you will find that whenever God had major judgments, there were earthquakes on the earth. That was God's way of shaking man up and saying, look, I'm visiting you with my anger.
Okay? So we need to understand these things. We must understand the sign of the times. Right? And the sign of the times is there is anger being manifested. And there's no logical reason for the anger. Hello? And we are the people who must raise up the standard of the blood. We are the people who must pray. Right? We must pray for God's purposes to be fulfilled, but we must also pray that we be protected. There are so many things we can ask for in God. All right? Are you with me? Praise the Lord. So you need to understand that. So he will give his angels charge over you to guard you in all your ways. Verse 12, they will bear you up in their hands lest you strike your foot against the stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent you will trample down. Because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. You see, the key is that you must love the Lord your God. Again, that is not something you can put on. That's why you must take your Christian faith seriously. Hello? To love God is something God must draw you into. It doesn't happen magically. Because it involves your free will. It involves your free will. It involves choices that you must make. You must have a proactive understanding of your Christian faith. What do I mean by proactive? Proactive means you don't react. You know what is reaction? The wind blows this side and we react. We just move by the wind. All right, someone makes you angry and you get angry back because you're just reacting. Proactive means you make a choice. Proactive means you set your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ and you develop the faith of Jesus within you. Proactive means you choose to love. Proactive means you choose to do what is right. Proactive means you start reading your Bible and asking God to explain it to you. You don't dare sit down there and think that it's the pastor's job to explain it to you. Hello? Proactive means you will get down on your knees and you will start praying. Praying that you will be able to pray. Praying that God will build the altar of your heart. Hello? You're going to need it. All right? You're going to need it. Others around you are going to need it. Where will you be when the shaking comes? Where will you stand in God? Hello? Two twin towers fall down and so many people are so shaken. Hello? Go and read Book of Revelation. One third of the age, earth starts shaking. We don't even know what that means. Right? There is one great earthquake in Revelation chapter 6 which says that every mountain and every island all over planet earth was shaken out of its position. What kind of earthquake is that? Right? But you need to understand that earthquake happened because God said so. And you have access to that God from your heart. You can stand anywhere at any time. And God has, in the name of Jesus, given you access to Him. You can ask Him. You can seek His face. And He will hear you. Right? You know, we are so impressed by what man does. Right? You read the papers today, you see the anger of the opponents in this war on terrorism. And we sit down there as if we can't do anything about it. As if we are defenseless and we are caught up in the turmoil. We are not. Right? We are not because we have the ability to pray. We have the ability to raise a standard. We have the ability, right, to speak correction. We have the ability to speak peace. We have the ability to manifest by the Spirit a new tomorrow. Hello? The Antichrist will only come when the church is not around. So there's nothing for you to fear. All you have to do in this life is to cultivate a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. the 10 virgins, the 5 virgins that were left back, their lamps ran out. What does that mean? That they were no longer alive to him. That's what went out. Right? They were all born again. All 10 of them were born again. 5 were alive to him, 5 were not alive to him. See, you need to be proactive in your faith. You need to make the right choices in your faith. Right? You have to find the time to pray. You have to find the time, right, to do what is right. Who else can do it for you? Right? Why does God allow shaking like this to take place? Just to remind us that it is time for us to understand that we need to pray. It is time for us to understand that our life does not depend on our bank accounts. Hello? When that earthquake took place in the Indian state of Gujarat, right? It's supposed to be one of the richest states in India. And wealth was just wiped out overnight. In one earthquake, it went out of the window. Hello? In those twin towers, right, were some of the biggest investment banks in the world. Right? Stockbrokers, whatever it is. Right? Men with brains with their Harvard MBAs sitting there and minting money. Right? Many of them earning more than $1 million a year. And suddenly, in an instant, it's all gone. Hello? So what are we supposed to do? We are supposed to watch and learn that man is not so smart after all. That man does not control his destiny. That a big asset backing is not going to be your guarantee of a future. If you think that your earnings are going to support your family in the future, I think you're going to be in for some real shocks in the future. You need to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You will need a time in the future, I believe, when you will have one piece of bread and you will need to see that bread multiply. Boy, do you need God. Hello? Right? We just read the fall of Mystery Babylon, right? We preached that, 4 weeks ago? Right? Do you realize that what became important was just having food and bread on the table? Right? All the fancy stuff became unmarketable. So all the merchants of the earth had all of these stock in trade. Right? All the fancy stuff, all the dinners for two at $1,000 a head or something like that, and nobody wanted it anymore. Right? All the space age, right, information, high-tech gimmickry, it was not worth anything. Correct? Suddenly, life was reduced to its bare essentials, and they realized they didn't have the bare essentials. Right? So, learn to pray. Right, we have prayer on Fridays, we have prayer on Sunday mornings. Just come and pray. Right? Start with 5 minutes. If that is all you can do, start somewhere. I started off with 5 minutes. Hello, that was 10 minutes, 10 years ago. Until about 3 years ago, even praying 20 minutes was a big job for me. Hello, and I used to pastor a church. Right? Now I enjoy prayer. God did something. Now I enjoy prayer because I understand what prayer can do. Right? And you need to understand that too. It's something that has to grow inside of you. Don't let things just happen to you. Right? Hello? Running away from God is about the most stupid thing you can do. It is the most stupid thing you can do in your life. Thinking that you have an answer to life, you don't. You don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow morning. Don't kid yourself, right? And all these things, right, are things we already know. So don't be stubborn. Don't be stubborn. All right, so the Lord is talking to us, right? So you have the true and faithful witness alive inside of you. Develop that witness, right? You have access to that witness. You have access to all of the power of the cross alive inside of you, right? Now you can touch the heavenlies, right, in prayer. That's what makes me so excited about prayer. Right? Before this service, I have been praying for something like 2 hours now. Right? I enjoyed every minute of it. I prayed because I wanted to pray, and I thank God for that, because what a blessing it is. Because for years I struggled with prayer. I had to force myself to pray. And now I want to pray. What a blessing. What a release of grace. And all that happened just suddenly this year. And suddenly I woke up one morning and said, we've got to pray. Right? Right? We've got to have a praying church. We've got to get the whole church involved in prayer. Right? It is so strong in my witness. Right? So come up and turn up for Fridays. Right? 7:30 to 10:30. Right? All right? You don't have to stay the whole time. Don't feel embarrassed if you can only stay for 20 minutes. But do come and join us. Right? Catch the spirit of prayer. Learn to pray from the witness. It will be an awesome blessing for you. It will bear dividends for you all of your life. In all eternity. Amen? So learn to pray. Learn to pray in the Word of God. Right? Learn to pray by the witness that God has given you. Learn to pray in Jesus' name, because the authority that is available to you is awesome. It will take time. Everything has to be built. Now when God talks about an altar in the Bible, He is talking about this. He has to build the altar inside of you. Right? Are you with me? In the Old Testament, right, one of the all types of altars that was there was built out of stone. And God said, no human implement must touch any of those stones. So the Jewish people took those stones, which were not touched by human hands, and they put them together, formed an altar. They then whitewashed it with lime, and then they were told to write the word of God on that altar. Now you can see the picture. What is God demonstrating there? That it is an altar that is built by God. It is an altar that will be whitewashed by God. That means all of our sins will not be taken into account. It will be an altar built on the Word of God. Are you with me? Right? So if you can see and visualize that altar being manifested from your heart, as an altar of prayer, how powerful will that be? Amen? All right? Praise the Lord. And you can pray in any situation and circumstance. You can go and see a client and pray. Right? You can go and see the Prime Minister and pray and ask for his favor. You can face people who hate your guts and pray, and there will be peace and there will be authority. That is the power of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. So as we celebrate Holy Communion, Jesus says, remember me. Why? Because remembrance is the root of everything that God does with us. Prayer is remembering Jesus. Right? Hello. Prayer is essentially remembering Jesus, because prayer is the ability to manifest the Jesus you know. Manifest His Spirit. Manifest His faith. Manifest His love. Manifest His righteousness. Manifest His faithfulness. Manifest His fullness. So when we pray remembering Him. And that prayer will 100% be answered. Amen? Are you with me? It will take time to perfectly express Jesus. That's true. But even if you can manifest Jesus 5%, you will see amazing results in your life. All right, so as we partake of Holy Communion, we must understand that it is a Passover. And we need this Passover to manifest in prayer. We need this Passover to manifest in prayer, so that when we pray, we will occupy some position of this Passover in the Mount of the Lord. And it will be awesome when we are able to do that, because we will know it in our witness. Can you see that? Praise the Lord. So spend that time, receive that witness. Let God build that witness inside of you. You will never regret what God builds inside of you, because everything God builds inside of you, it will last forever. You know, brethren, we work so hard for so many things that we know at the age of 70 we will not have. You will not have either because you have lost it, or you will not have it because you can't appreciate it anymore. You will not have it because it will be totally irrelevant to your physical being at that time. And yet we work as if our lives depended on it. Be wise. Invest in the kingdom of God. Invest in God. You will never regret investing in God, because He is faithful, even when we are not faithful. Amen. So as we remember the Lord Jesus Christ in communion, let's celebrate His grace. Amen. Praise the Lord. Can we have the... Next time I'll ask Jesus to send printed invitations, then you won't be shy. Father, we bless you and thank you for your love for us, Lord. And what an amazing love it is, Father, that you would choose to manifest yourself from within the temples of our being. That each one of us, O God, is chosen to unveil your glorious wonder. Each one of us is chosen, O God, to develop an altar within us that will enable us to stand in the mount of the Lord. That will enable us, O God, to do awesome things in you and by you and through you. Today as we stand in Holy Communion, Father, we realize that the key to prayer is remembering the Lord Jesus Christ, giving expression to Him from the altars of our heart, giving expression to Him in that witness of blood, water and spirit, understanding that when we pray in tongues, it is the fullness of Christ Jesus that we must choose to manifest. It is the fullness of His word that we must choose to manifest, not human emotion, not human desire, not our carnal wants and desires, Father. So it is so important for us to understand, Lord, that remembering Jesus Christ is the essence to every blessing that you are going to give us, Father. It is the essence of everything that you are going to bring forth in our lives. So we ask you, Father, to sanctify these elements of the bread and wine, because they stand as prophetic elements, O God, of what you have given us in Christ Jesus. The bread represents, O God, His substance, the substance of His fullness that is to be manifested to us as an evidence of Him, Father. That substance that is to enable us to have a heart that belongs to you, Father. In that substance, an altar is to be built within us. And in that altar, Father, we are called to touch the nations. We are called to unveil the fact that we are kings, prophets, and priests. And in that altar, Lord, we are supposed to manifest a witness. And that witness, O God, is a witness of blood, water, and spirit. That sacrifice that Jesus manifested in His blood, with His blood expressing, Father, His faith and His love for each one of us. And so, Father, we are called to pray in the reality, O God, of His faith and His love alive from the altars of our heart. So as we come alive to Him, as we come to know Him, as we come to love Him, as we come to belong to Him, Father, we pray that you bless us, Father, teaching us, strengthening us, renewing us, regenerating in us, creating in us a new heart, a heart that will truly belong to you, eyes that will see you, ears that will hear you, an ability, O God, enabled in Christ Jesus, Father. So bless and sanctify these elements of the bread and wine, that they will be to us by your Holy Spirit, the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that as we partake of Him in His flesh and in His blood, we will receive of Him in all of His fullness, Father, so that we may truly serve you in the desires of your heart. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for the living bread that came down out of heaven. Of his fullness we have all received, grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. And we need to realize grace and truth, Father. And we realize, O God, that one of the great ways in which we can realize grace and truth is through prayer. One of the great ways in which we can communicate grace and truth is through prayer. We can bless others. We can change the situations and circumstances of life through prayer. We can truly, O God, see God's will being manifested, Father, through prayer. So teach us to become prayer warriors. Teach us to become intercessors. Teach us, O God, to bring our petitions and our supplications to you. Teach us, O God, to function in all kinds of prayer, Father. For there are different kinds of prayer. There is prayer of healing. There is prayer of supplication. There is prayer, O God, of warfare, Lord. There are so many different kinds of prayer. But in everything, Lord, it all depends on how well we remember Christ Jesus. So we realize that that remembrance is built into us in his substance. So as we partake of the bread of life, Father, we pray that you will truly manifest his fullness into us in Jesus' name. Amen. The blood of the Lamb is life to us, Lord. And his blood was poured out for each one of us. Each one of us received the same measure of his blood, Lord. Each one of us has access to the same measure of his faith and his love. Teach us to be proactive by setting our hope on the Lord Jesus Christ, because faith comes to us as we set our hope on him. So transform our hearts, Lord, so that we will be willing to set our hope on the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.